Blog Talk Radio.
Doing up at 6:30. Well, I'm being grandma this week, and I have to take my granddaughter to school, so I can't be doing two things at once. So we are a little bit early, so that I can make sure my grandchild gets to school on time, decently and in order. Isn't that what we say? And that's the word, right? So. She needs to be in school decent and in order and on time. So her grandma is taking her this morning. But I am so excited to be with you at 6:30 a.m., which I'm normally up anyway. But God put it in my heart to just go early. Talking about an awesome man of God this morning. We're going to be coming out of our New Testament word in. If time permits, we will have a psalm and a proverb, our psalms and proverbs this morning. I just got filled up reading this word about Stephen. What a mighty man of God. Loved God. Loved his son. Looked like an angel. In this word, we are introduced to Saul. And he is a mess. But as I was reading the word, one thing that stuck out to me was Stephen giving a history lesson. And the history lesson that he gave was the word of God, where, you know, he talked about the prophets, and the prophets said, heaven is my throne, speaking of God, and the earth is my footstool. And if we stop and think on throwing at him other people that murdered Stephen, and from that point on, he became a Pharisee, Christian hating, the way hating, hot mess. And that's what I'm going to call him. He was like as excited as and as much of a zealot for God as Stephen was. Paul was just the opposite. Stephen was willing to lay down his life for the love of Jesus, to speak the way, the truth, and the life. Whereas Saul was the opposite. He wanted to quench the word. He wanted to stifle the word. He wanted to stamp out the word and the way and the truth and the life. He wanted to stamp it out. if I can stamp out this light, that this man has the gall to look like an angel. Give us for killing him. Who is this? I think there was a lot of hater hate going on. But I tell you one thing. Stephen died with a love of God in his heart, with a forgiving spirit. And I can tell you, we don't always have that spirit of forgiveness. We want to get back at folks, talk about people. Well, if it was me, I love the "if it was me" crowd. If it was me, I wouldn't take that. If it was me, I wouldn't do that. If it was me, I. If it was me. Well, I can tell you something. To have a Stephen spirit, to love God so much, to lay down his life as the Lord laid down his life for us. What a spirit to have. Would we be willing to die for Jesus like he died for us? That's just a question to think about today. But just remember, heaven and earth belong to the Lord. And everything in each are God's. Think that through as you go through your day today and love your brothers and your sisters as God loves us. Father God, I thank you for this word this morning. May it permeate minds, hearts, and spirits. May we have the love for your son and you as Stephen did. May we have hearts of pureness and minds clear to receive what you have to fill us up. Lord God, I ask your grace. I ask your mercy. I ask your blessings and I ask your goodness. May it surround us, fill us, that we may be open to you. Father, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. In you I walk, in you I talk, in you I move and have my being. Lord God, I ask your blessings and your grace this morning. And I ask you, Father, to please increase as I decrease. You are doing on this day that you have made. Father, I rejoice in it. And I'm glad. As the rain comes down, may it cleanse our hearts, minds, and souls. And give us a remembrance that you send the rain as well as the sun. That all things come from you. The good, the bad, and sometimes ugly. To get our attention. Father, I thank you. I thank you. For waking me up this morning, clothing my right mind to read and to praise you, to read your word and give you honor, glory, and praise. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God is absolute. He is the source of my strength. And I am true. I could not do this without God. I couldn't move forward without God. I couldn't get this word out without God. He is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. And we're going to do something just a slight bit different this morning. We're going to actually, in yesterday's New Testament word, so we get it all in context, where Stephen is concerned. And so we are coming, please join me in the book of Acts, chapter 7. And we're going to actually start at verse 1 so that we get all of the word in context. And I'm going to be coming this morning out of the NIV. We haven't had NIV. But I would always suggest for everyone to please get a copy of the New King James Version of the Word, especially my King James readers. And the reason being is New King James just breaks it down just a little bit better than King James. And the reason why I say that is that it has language we understand. Whereas, you know, just starting out, if I'm going, I'm going to go over to King James first. And it says this, then to the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, Abraham. And he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Sharon. And said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show you. Okay, show thee. Whereas in the New King James, it gives it a little bit clearer. And it says this, then the high priest said, are these things so? And he said, brethren and fathers, listen. Same thing as hearken. But instead of hearken, which is an older word for listen, it just says listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. And Sharon and Haran are the same thing. And said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Show, S-H-O-W, not the old. So just little things, but I just love New King James. That is my go-to Bible. So I can follow on Sunday the King James Version of the Word. And even the NIV, which is very similar to King James and New King James. So we're going to go NIV today just to make it plain. Because I want everybody to understand this young man named Stephen, who loved God so much that he was willing to give his life without any kind of, he wasn't trying to get anything. But he was willing to give everything, his life, for the love of God. And so Stephen is given a history lesson to the Sanhedrin. He's given a history lesson to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's breaking it all down so they can understand it. So this is what he says. Then the high priest asked Stephen, are these charges true? Because remember, he was charged with blasphemy. And he said, to this he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran after the death of his father. God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, nor even enough ground to set his foot on. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at the time of Abraham, in this way, for 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country, not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves. God said, and afterwards they will come out of that country and worship me in this place. Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision. And Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him 8 days after his birth. Later, Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs. Because of the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all his trouble. He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So Pharaoh made him ruler over Egypt and all his palace. Then a famine struck all Egypt and Canaan, bringing great suffering, and our ancestors could not find food. God heard that there was grain in Egypt. He sent our forefathers on their first visit. On their second visit, Joseph told his brothers who he was, and Pharaoh learned about Joseph's family. After this, Joseph sent for his father, Jacob, and his whole family, 75 in all. Then Jacob went down to Egypt, where he and our ancestors died. Their bodies were brought back to the Shechem, back to Shechem, and placed in the tomb that Abraham had brought from the sons of Hamor at Shechem for a certain sum of money. As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt had greatly increased. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our ancestors by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. And I read that and I thought about this history in this land that I live, where there were those who would take suckling babies from their mothers and stake them out as crocodile bait because they made crocodile shoes and alligator shoes, and they hunted crocs and alligators and used our babies as bait. Wow. When I read that, my heart, that our children were nothing but bait, just as the newborns in the days of Moses. Were not even worth living because they were populating. So kill them all. A whole generation. It's a man. It breaks your heart when you think of the bloody history of our nation. And you think of the similarities between people enslaved and marginalized and treated less than by God. Because this is the word, it says, at that time Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months he was cared for by his family. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptian and was powerful in speech and action. Now, this is coming from the Hebrew side. It says Moses was powerful in speech and action. Stuttered and, you know, we know that he spoke, I think, with more fear than stuttering. Because I think Moses was powerful. Because he didn't stutter. I need Aaron when he came off that mountain, did he? He didn't stutter. I need Aaron. When he went off on all of them, he didn't stutter when he talked about God, did he? He didn't stutter when he led. He needed Aaron first because Aaron was familiar to the people. But once they got used to the true leader, which was Moses, and after he came off that mountain with them 10 commandments, they changed their tune, and Moses was the one doing the speaking. And as Stephen said in his word, he was powerful in speech and action. Since when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler or judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he had settled as a foreigner and had two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of the burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to get a closer look, he heard the Lord say, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt." This is the same Moses they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent. Whew, come on, Stephen is preaching this morning. Sent by their ruler and delivered by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and performed wonders and signs in Egypt at the Red Sea and for 40 years in the wilderness. And I want y'all to think about that. 40 years old when he fled. 80 years old when he came back. 120 years old, 106, no, 108 years old. I'm not doing my adding right, y'all. 160 years old, 120, sorry. And I thought, what amazing things he did. You know, amazing. 120 years old and led them folks. And I know they got on his nerves. It's like, these folks is crazy. Building idols, got to tear them down. Disobedient, stiff-necked. But he made it through, so let's keep going. But our ancestors refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. They told Aaron, "Make us gods who will go before us, as this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt. We don't know what has happened to him." That was the time they made an idol in the form of a calf. They brought sacrifices to it and reveled in what their own hands had made. But God turned away from them and gave them over to the worship of the sun, moon, and stars. This agrees with what is written in the book of the prophets. "Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel? You have taken up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god, Raphim, the idols you made to worship. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Babylon." He was given a history lesson. And he was given the prophetic word. Our ancestors had the tabernacle of the covenant law with them in the wilderness. It had been made as God directed Moses according to the pattern he had seen. After receiving the tabernacle, our ancestors under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations God drove out before them. It remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for God, for the God of Jacob. but it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses. Can you hear? The Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. As the prophets say, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord, or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? Can the church say amen this morning? You stiff-necked people, Stephen is preaching. Your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels but have not obeyed it. He is preaching and they get mad. Because, you know, folks don't want to hear about themselves. They don't want to know when they're doing wrong. They want to get mad at the messenger. Come on now. Stephen is preaching this morning. And it said the stoning of Stephen is the title of the word. It says, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the foot of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. You know, and King James and New King James say, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said it, he fell asleep. He died. Don't charge them. He forgave them as they were killing him. He forgave them. Forgive for a slight. He forgave for his murder. You think that through. He forgave them for his murder. As they were murdering him, he was forgiving them. What a mighty man of God. And I want to go over some life lessons from this word this morning. And I tell you, it is good. This is a rich, rich, rich word. You know, Stephen was so good. You know, we can pray to be have a good heart and a Stephen heart. We need that in our heart. To be able to forgive. Even our persecutors and murderers. But this is what Acts 7 and 35 says in life lessons. Moses, whom they rejected, is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer. Just as the Hebrews initially rejected Moses and the religious leaders renounced Jesus, people who truly love and serve God may experience opposition, even from the very ones they are trying to help. Therefore, don't be discouraged when you face resistance. Obey God, and he will show everyone that he is the one working through you. Hallelujah. We want God to work through us because we are taking our Father out of a box. Everywhere you go, he goes with you. And you may be the only Savior someone sees. You may be that only light of goodness and mercy and goodness and kindness that someone sees. How you act outside of the four walls is what people notice, is what people see, and what gets people believing in our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is what the word says for life examples. Stephen echoing his Savior. Stephen slumped to the ground as blood and forgiveness poured from his lips. Nearby, a young man watched unaware that this death would bring life to worldwide evangelism. Years later, the young man who had supported the execution of Stephen for his blasphemy against Moses and the temple became the Apostle Paul. Stephen most revealed his Christ-like qualities. When under duress, as the stones pelted him, he cried, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then as death echoed closer, with every blow, he echoed his Savior by praying, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." The beauty of Stephen's final words can never be overstated. They most eloquently summarize the heart of the true Christian. They testify of the Lord inside him. They speak of ultimate love. These words grab the attention of someone who is nearby watching. Now, if you saw that, you are killing this person. You are murdering this person. You are stoning to death this person. And instead of being angry and cussing you out and calling you all kinds of things and cursing you to the pits of hell, he says, "Forgive." I don't care who you are, but that should eat at your spirit. This angelic face looking back at you, looking at the heavens for your sin of murder. That is some wild stuff. That is a godly spirit. I don't know if I have it. I pray to God to have a godly spirit, to let his light shine so I can speak of my Savior. And as we continue in our word this morning, some more life lessons. 7 verse 56, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. We learn from several Bible passages that when Jesus ascended to heaven, he sat down at the right hand of God. And, you know, we can find that in Mark chapter 16, verse 19. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Yet to greet this first Christian martyr, the Lord stood. He stood waiting for Stephen to come home. Wow. And then Stephen, like Jesus, again, instead of then cussing out and calling him everything but children of God, he forgave. He forgave. He said, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin, the sin of murder, the sin of lying, the sin of not loving their neighbor." They had all kinds of sins going on, but he asked God not to charge them. Just as Jesus asked his Father to forgive those who crucified him in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, so Stephen asked God to give his murderers a chance to repent. God's grace enables us to do what we would never do on our own. What an awesome man of God. And as we wrap it up this morning, all I can say is God gets the glory. And we're going to go into Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 25. And we're going to talk about Saul. the holder of the clues, the stuff laid down, the witness to a vicious murder of a saint. And it says this, now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. He was a fraud. He was a fraud. And he was not from God. And let's keep it moving. Verse 11. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracle signs which were done. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. It only a charlatan would offer money to receive what is freely given. And let's keep it going here, because this is a word this morning. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Give me this power also that anyone to whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perishes with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this manner, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this, your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And they were not scared of Saul, I tell you that. They were not afraid of Saul. Can get a life lessons, three life lessons from chapter 8. And the first says, and he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, could never forget that he had persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Galatians 1:13. partly for this reason he called himself the chief of sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. Acts 8:4. Those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And what they thought they were getting ready to destroy by putting them in prison, instead scattering them to go to other places to preach the gospel. So what they thought they were trying to destroy, they enhanced. And the people of God, whoo, hallelujah, started doing their thing all over the place. Philip, Samaria, baptizing in the name of Jesus. And then Peter and John coming and laying hands and giving the Holy Spirit. Did not play. Told Simon, you are pretty much, you need to go on and repent because you are a mess trying to buy God's favor. Come on now. You can't buy God. You know, you can't stand in lines to give somebody $150 for a word of God. Make sure you put the 50 with it. You know, come on. God will give you a word to you yourself. All you got to do is listen. Because I'm going to tell you, I've been prophesied to a major blessing because I listened to a prophesied instead of listening to what God had told me. I'm telling you, it can change the course of your life, listening to a lie instead of just being still and knowing that he is God. We got to understand that. Acts 8:23, I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Peter looked in and saw Simon's soul. He saw his soul. And he said, we do not know of Simon the sorcerer made a big error as a baby Christian or whether he had never truly come to faith. But in either case, Peter rebuked him sharply. Not to condemn him, but to rescue him. What a mighty God we serve. The creator of the Lord of heaven and earth is our God. And the one thing I can say without any doubt in my mind is that he loves us. Heaven and earth belong to the Lord, and we do too. We belong to God. He is our absolute. When we give over to him, everything else falls into place. Everything falls into place. Who do you belong to? As for me and Miles, we will serve the Lord. We got to have that in our spirit. I will serve the Lord. And as we continue this morning, we're going to go back to some Psalms and Proverbs. And we're going to go to Psalms first. And our Psalm for today is this, Psalm 78. And it says, a contemplation of Asaph. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. We got to tell our children about Jesus. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. The children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God. They say set their hope in man, set their hope in this, and set their hope in that. No, they say set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the days of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. God has shown great things all through the years, all through the creation of this planet. As we continue 12 through 16, marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime, also he led them with the cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rock in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused water to run down like rivers. Wow. What a word. What a mighty word. And as we finish up, Psalm 78, it says, but they sinned even more against him. They're giving a history lesson, just like Stephen gave a history lesson. By rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness, and they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock, so that the waters gushed out and the streams of water flow. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his feet? Therefore, the Lord heard and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to all the full. What a beautiful word this morning. I can only say I'm filled up. I am filled up because we serve such awesome God. The heavens and the earth belong to God, and we do too, because we're part of the earth. And just some life lessons from Psalm. It is Psalm 78 and 4. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord. It is our job to tell our children not only the great things God did in Bible times, but also the wonderful works he has performed in our own lives. They need to see God at work in us. We got to tell our children about God. Just as we tell our problems about our God, we got to tell our children about our problems and how our God solved them. How our God has been there through the thick, through the thin, through the ups, and definitely through the downs. He's been with us, children of God. And he loves us more than anything. And I say to you this morning, keep God first in everything that you do, and watch him work in your life. Why? Because he loves you. He loves us like that. He cares about us, and he wants the best for us. And before we get out of here, I have a proverb. Proverb 19:20-21. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. Think that through. God's counsel will stand. We can listen to everybody, but we need to listen to God. And as Proverbs 19:20-24 says, what is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. In other words, too lazy to eat, too lazy to pick up a fork, too lazy to follow God. And Proverbs 19:25-26, and this is our word for this morning. Strike a scoffer and the simple will become weary. Rebuke one who has understanding and he will discern knowledge. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. I tell anybody, if you need a word, go to Proverbs. If you need some wisdom about any situation, go to Proverbs. Proverbs will set you straight and will talk about you on the slide. You don't even know you being talked about until you finish reading the Proverbs, calling you all out of your name because what God says is true. And when you read it and you read about yourself, you're like, oh, shoot, Lord, forgive me. You know, because I've been laying around being lazy, or I've been procrastinating, or I've been a scoffer, or I've been, you know, foolish in how I've treated my resources, how I've done what I've done. Lord, forgive me. We got to ask forgiveness, because sometimes we can be something else. But God sees us, because why? Heaven and earth belong to the Lord. Before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And a word from Sister Carolyn this morning is this. And I don't have a word from Sister Carolyn. But I do tell you this morning, please keep Sister Carolyn and her family in your prayers. Her daughter's grandfather passed away. And his services, I believe, are tomorrow. But they are funeralizing him this weekend. So please keep her in your prayers as our family goes through this bereavement of a loved one, as well as, you know, some sickness in her family. So please keep Sister Carolyn as well as Mother Rita in your prayers, the bereavement of in-laws and grandparents of Aunt Rita's grandniece and Sister Carolyn's daughter's grandfather. But I'll go with yesterday's word, which is so fitting again for today. If God can bring you to it, he will take you through it. He has you. Have a thankful Thursday. Because Stephen, with all he was going through, never once gave up on God. He loved God. Cared about his brothers and sisters, and he died for the love of Jesus. Are you willing to put your life on the line for God? For God I live, for God I die. And Stephen looked up, and as the sky was opening to receive his soul, as the heavens door opened to receive his soul, he saw the Savior standing by Father God on his right hand. And then he asked Father God to forgive his murderers. Forgive them. What better way to leave this earth but with a smile on your face and the joy of the Lord in your heart? you all for listening this morning. As always, may the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the Lord's sight. And may you all have received something from it. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our Savior Jesus Christ, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious weekend. And for those in my area, stay dry and know that God is in charge. Have a blessed day, family. I was a little early this morning for those that are just listening. We started at 6:30 because I have an assignment to take my grandchild to school. So I thank all of you for listening in early. Those that came in later, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and Moving Forward with Minister Bridget, and you will be able to find today's show. Or if you are a friend of mine on Facebook or on Twitter, you can also find it on Twitter under Minister B Talks Word. And if you're a friend of mine on Facebook, you can always go to my page. So thank you so much, everybody. Be blessed. And know that God is in charge of everything. And before I get out of here, I just got to read my scripture for this morning on one of my Bible apps that I get. And it just fits. It's a word from Jeremiah. And we all know Jeremiah did not play at all. He was powerful. That's all I can say is he was powerful. Not sure what's going on here. I don't know what has taken over my Bible app, but I have to start over. There we go. Jeremiah 23:24. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Lord? And as our word says this morning, heaven and earth belong to the Lord. Have a blessed day, family. As we say on Moving Forward, it is a wrap. Because why? It's time to go to work. And who do we work for? We work for God. Have a great and blessed day, family, knowing that you are special and you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and he loves you. Have a great weekend. Please join me on Sunday as we continue moving forward through the Word of God. We will be back at 7 on Sunday. Thanking God for a word and thanking God for each and every one of you. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend. It's a wrap.